when the outbreak of COVID first took place, Jonathan and I had, we set up out here in the coffee shop and went through Psalm 91. And just put it on Facebook, sent it to, you know, people from the church. We put it on our Facebook page. And in the meantime, recently I've had the Lord stir my heart about going back there with us again, looking at that, revisiting that psalm. And not long after that, just, I don't know how long, maybe week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe days, I don't remember. But right along in that, right after he put that in my heart, was October 7th when the bombing took place and all the horrific, not bombing, but all the horrific acts that took place in Israel. And, of course, now we're looking at what's going on in our nation right now. I heard a report the other day that was given that anti-Semitism, and this may be around the world or it could be in our nation. Now I don't remember which it was, and I didn't jot down specifically. But over 400% it has risen since October the 7th. Courtney heard a report that said 380%. So one or the other, right in there. Maybe they rounded it up to 400. I don't know. Isn't that horrible? And even after October 7th, I didn't feel that I was to share it just yet, but I felt this last week, earlier this past week, that I was to go there to Psalm 91. And all of a sudden it dawned on me yesterday. I don't know why I did. Sometimes I have this and this and this and this that I know, and I don't always put them all together at the same time. Y'all know what I mean? But yesterday began the 21 days of prayer of Psalm 91 over Israel and America. The 21 days of prayer. Many are fasting and praying. It began yesterday, and I thought, well, how fitting. Wow, Lord, you remembered. You knew. You saw the calendar. didn't pay enough attention, apparently. But I thought that was so amazing how he lined that up the way that he did. So if you would, turn with me to Psalm 91. And, you know, I believe that what the Lord is asking and desiring from us is that it would not be a matter of, wow, that's a really good psalm. I like that. That was really good. But it would be a matter of something that we tuck away deep in our heart. That when trouble comes, that is so alive and vibrant in our heart that when trouble comes, that is what comes up out of us. Not, oh my, what are we going to do? Oh no, this is, oh no, that. But instead, what would come up out of us would be this psalm, that we would hold fast to this in times of trouble. I remember when Kelly was just barely she was a baby. And I was helping my pastor at the church with some stuff, getting some things organized. And I came home with Kelly, and as I was coming home, the wind just started kicking up so bad, ferociously. And what happened was a tornado actually came through our neighborhood. Two houses down from me just wiped out just a whole swath through the woods there, right through, tore the fence down, tore down, went through the woods beside the church, tore down, just made a whole complete path right through there. But you know, the winds, outer winds of that thing are hard too. They're blowing hard too. And, man, it was kicking up fast. And I took Christy and Kelly and went over to the corner of the room. And this is what came out of my heart, Psalm 91. And I began declaring that psalm. And I'm telling you, there was not a limb down in my yard. There was no destruction that came nigh my dwelling. Okay? My pump house lid turned around. And I had about a million worms on my back porch. Go figure. Somebody could have gone fishing. But I didn't have anything like that. No damage to my home. I saw a big 4x8 sheet of plywood come off the neighbor. It flipped their roof shingles off. And a big 4x8 sheet came flying up and spinning. Well, it's coming my way. I said, "Oh, no, you don't." And it almost went like slow motion and just stopped and propped right up against beside my porch. And then I went, "Oh, wait, and my dog." All of a sudden I'm realizing, I got a dog out here. Lord, watch over my doggie. He's out there and probably horrified in his doghouse because he was scared of a storm. We had nothing, but it was because that psalm came up out of my spirit. And so that's what I want. I want when trouble comes, whatever it is, whether it's a horrible situation about to happen when you're on the highway or the road or in public place or in your home or wherever you are, I want the word of God to be quick coming up out of your spirit, man. Amen? All right. Have you gotten to Psalm 91? I need to get there. Hang on. My little Bible is so marked up with Psalm 91. I had to mark up another Bible. It's just so marked up because there's so many amazing things about this particular scripture. And, you know, sometimes when you're reading in the Word, it almost seems like something shifts in the middle of your read. And it does in this psalm, and I love it because there are actually a couple of conversations going on here. A couple of different people leading the conversation. And I love it. I love it. I love teaching on this. Most of you have probably already heard it. You get to hear it again. And I even looked up more stuff just because I love to do that. So it starts out, it says, "He who dwells..." He who lives or makes it the place where you call home. It's your habitation. It's your dwelling place. He who dwells in the secret place, that's the protected place of the Most High, shall abide, remain, continue in, permanently live under the shadow of the Almighty. And that word shadow there is under the shade, under the defense. It even gives the idea of where I live in this place where God's presence overshadows me. I like that. I like that. So he who lives in the protected place of union with God shall remain in, continue in, permanently live under the defense, the shade, the protection of Almighty God. Woo! That's good right there. Now, this next verse is my part. This is my part. I'm to live there. That's verse one. I need to live there. Okay? Number two, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. That's what was coming out of my mouth that day. I said, I will say of the Lord. And I started. And Kelly's just looking around and grinning, and I'm declaring the word. She didn't know what was going on. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my place of trust, my hope, my protection, my shelter, and my fortress, my castle, the strong place of defense. In Him I will trust. That's what I want coming out of my mouth in the time of trouble. What's my confession in the time of trouble? That's what it needs to be. Then it goes on in verse 3, and now it changes who's talking. This is Jesus now talking to me before the Father. Okay? And he's saying, for then... He, the Father, will surely deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The fowler is the snarer, the one who ensnares, who entangles, who entraps you. And I got to thinking about how easy it is. It kind of reminds me of what it says about the bait of Satan being ensnared into offense. How offense is scandalon. It's that trap, that snare that gets us offended. How quick the enemy is to ensnare us into, and offense is one of those things that gets us right up in there on that hook. That'll do it really quickly. And it says, Jesus said it's impossible for offenses not to abound. Offenses are going to happen. But be careful to who it happens. Be careful you don't get on the hook, right? You be careful of that. So he says, surely he, the Father, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous or deadly pestilence. And this says poisoned arrows. Poisoned arrows. It goes on talking about how these poisoned arrows, I'm trying to find where I had it written down. Oh, it's in my Bible. These poisoned arrows, like deadly talk, when people talk and speak evil against you, when they say malicious lies about you, when they say things about you that are wrong, or maybe say things to you that are malicious and hateful. It says poisonous arrows. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly talk. Poisonous arrows. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will take refuge. Let's look at that for just a second. Under his wings, it gives the idea of the overspreading. Under his wings, his overshadowing of your life, because you're abiding in that place, right? Under his wings, you'll be protected. You'll be sheltered. You'll be in that place of trust and hope. It reminds you of little baby chicks running and gathering up under their mama's wing. You can't get to that chick unless you go through that wing. Can you imagine anything trying to go through the wing of the Lord? I don't think so. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. So they may be out there, and all of a sudden something happens. What do you see them do? They all run right up under, and Mama Hen does this and gathers them right there. And that's the idea you get from this. They're protected up under there. We're protected up under him, sheltered in that place of trust and hope. It says, his truth will be your shield. It says, a large hedge. And your buckler, which is a smaller shield that's used more, like a little round shield, that's used more in hand-to-hand combat. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. That one really was a great realization. The terror by night. It's like sudden alarm. Something that happens suddenly that causes terror, that can actually traumatize you inwardly because of a suddenness that it brings. It says, you'll not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow. There goes that dart or that shaft that comes to wound you. Again, that can be lies, accusations. Nor of the pestilence. There's disease, plague, that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. And I'm like, what does that mean, lays waste? And it says, that which begins to swell up, bringing destruction. Think about that, how something starts happening, and then it swells and swells, and then brings explosive destruction. He said, you don't have to be afraid of that. You don't have to be afraid of the terror by night. You don't have to be afraid of the arrow, the accusations, the slanders, the things that come to wound you. You don't have to be afraid of deadly disease or plague, nor of destruction that lies waste at noonday. 10,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Can you fathom that? That you would be in a situation where 1,000 could fall beside you and 10,000 at your right hand, but it did not come nigh me. Can you believe for that? He said it. I didn't. I would have had a hard time with that one. You choke on that one. When you start seeing everybody falling around you, you're like, oh no, I'm next. You know, I mean, let me go ahead and lay down. I'm next. No, he said, and you've got to be able to declare that. I've said that before. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come nigh me. You have to have confidence in this God and the God of this word. His word is his bond. It's who he is. He doesn't just throw stuff out there that sounds good. His word is real. It's true. It's his bond to you. And you can stand on his word, if you will. If you will. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. I mean, see, that sounds like war to me. But it will not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And that reward there is the recompense, the retribution, the pay of the wicked. Now, I want to stop and read that a minute from the Passion Translation because it's just a really pretty read. It's really, like, it's exciting. When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He is the hope that holds me. This is my confession. And the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. Now here's what Jesus says to the Father, says to you about the Father. He'll rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. Wow. Wow. You can't ignore the spiritual application of this. You know, a lot of things in the Old Testament were literal. And this could be a literal thing for us too. But what I'm saying is don't ignore the spiritual application of how the enemy comes against us. Don't ignore that part as well. Make sure we're aware of that as well. You know, we have kids right now going into universities. And it says that from the moment that they register and go in for what's that first thing called? Orientation. When they go in from the time of orientation, the assault of the enemy to cause them to doubt, I'm talking about Christian kids, or even kids who've just been raised in church and maybe they're not fully committed to the Lord, but to get them off kilter and doubting what they've been taught all their life. The onslaught of attack begins immediately from the day of orientation to doubt God's word. The last survey showed at least 75% of our kids going to universities, hear me, will succumb to that attack. That last survey said that 75% of the students who go to these universities, I'm talking about these big universities, Harvard, Yale, Yale, will give up on their faith within 30 days. That's staggering. The propaganda that's coming against them and the onslaught of the lies of the enemy is coming against them so hard, and it was propagated and used. Some of you older people will remember this more so. It was formulated by Mao Zedong. Most of this stuff that's being used was formulated by Mao Zedong. He inflicted his own people with this kind of stuff during the Cultural Revolution. In America, we called it brainwashing. I remember learning about it. I don't think I was born yet, but I remember learning about it. We called it brainwashing here. It systematically changed the way people think so they couldn't think straight anymore. Like their reasoning was broken. They were so conflicted over what they even believed anymore. And that's the same kind of stuff that is coming against our kids now. That's crazy. Our kids in universities, that's crazy. That's just unreal. It's producing kids who come out who have no idea. You know, that's a whole lot of the anti-Semitism we're seeing coming out of our colleges. I heard somebody who was, what's the word? He was trying to talk to her. I mean, he was going around getting reports from these kids, talking to them. Reporter, duh. A reporter was trying to get to hear what they had to say. And this girl had no clue what was even going on. I'm going, are you kidding me? This kid has no clue what she is even protesting. No idea. Like, they were asking her, well, do you believe that so-and-so? She said, well, you know, like Israel, they were bombing the Palestinian people. And, well, were you aware of what happened here? Oh, no, I guess I need to get some more clues of what's going on. You think you're out here protesting and you don't even know what you're protesting about? You think you do, but you're wrong. You don't even understand. And they don't even really know what's going on. Geez Louise. That's the kind of stuff that in the middle of these kinds of things, we want our kids solid on who the Lord is. We want our kids so that when they go in a workplace or they go into wherever, school systems, when they go in places that they know whose they are and in whom they believe. I remember Mama asking me years ago, I was a kid, maybe fourth grade or something, and something was said about a different religion or something. And I said, well, we know. She said, well, how do you know that? And my mama started asking me questions. I'm like, because you taught me. I mean, that's what you believe, right? You know? She said, well, how do you know that? How do you know what they believe isn't right? And she was really frustrating me and scaring me, and I couldn't understand why she was asking me these questions. I kept saying things like, well, you know. And finally I said, because I know in my heart he's real. And she said, bingo. There you go. Finally we get a right answer. You've got to know whose you are, who he is, and be solid in that so that you can withstand in the evil day. Amen? So when things are going on around you, you can be saying, I will serve the Lord. He's my God. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. In him alone I put my trust. Amen. All right, you ready to go back to Psalm 91? Okay. Oh, I love this. Jesus says to you, because you made the Lord, talking about God, who's my refuge, even the Most High. You made him your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. My God, that is destruction or disease. You say it over where disease is concerned. You stand at the door of your house and you say, no disease comes nigh my dwelling. When there's hurricanes, tornadoes, things like that, you stand at, I've stood out there with my hair standing out like this with the wind blowing, saying, no destruction shall come nigh my dwelling. My kids will tell you that. When they're talking about a hurricane coming, they'll put on Facebook or they'll send me a text, Mom, I'm going to need you to walk outside and talk to this wind. You need to go do it in your home. I want you to learn to do it. She says, that's why I moved close to you. Oh. I'm gonna flip over to Matthew 10 and just show you something really cool about this. Matthew 10. No, I'm lying. Yeah, Matthew 10, verse 32. That's not it. I was in Mark. It's Matthew. Listen at this. Jesus said this. Whoever confesses me before men, remember what your confession was in the second verse? Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father who's in heaven. And that's exactly what he's doing in Psalm 91. He's saying to you before the Father. Don't you love that? Okay, because you made the Lord, who's my refuge, you made him your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor shall any destruction or disease come near your dwelling. For he, the Lord, now we got another party involved. Now we've got angels involved. Are y'all with me? He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. Now we're talking like satanic power, demonic principalities and powers. The young lion, the serpent, you will trample underfoot. This is Jesus confessing before the angels in your behalf. Check this one out in Luke 12:8. Did I tell you I love Psalm 91? Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will confess before the angels. And here he is in Psalm 91. Now, not only confessing on your behalf before the Father, but now on your behalf before the angels. And now here's my very most favorite part of all. Now here's the Father's response to Jesus in your behalf. He's looking at Jesus and he's saying about you, because she set her love on me, therefore I will deliver her. I will set her on high because she has known my name. She will call upon me and I will answer her. I will be with her in trouble. I will deliver her and honor her with long life. I will satisfy her and show her my salvation. Isn't that amazing? Wow. That ought to really do something inside your spirit right there. It ought to be doing like tumbly flips inside. I'm going to read the rest of Psalm 91 with the Passion Translation. I'm going to go back to what Jesus said and then follow it all the way through. This is what Jesus is saying about the Father. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. He will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack or demonic forces at night. You will not, nor fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the power of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be protected from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk in a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them underneath your feet. And now the Father says, here's what the Father has spoken. Because you've delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. And you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Isn't that wonderful? What an amazing, amazing Father. What an amazing Father. We need to be declaring this over us. That's the whole thing of the Psalm 91 for 21 days, beginning yesterday, was declaring Psalm 91 over us, over America, over Israel, praying for them. But we need to be declaring this over our family, over our lives, over our kids, over one another, over Israel. We've got to hold fast to this word, especially in the days of ahead. I will say of the Lord, He is my God. He is my refuge. He's my fortress. In Him I trust. In Him I trust. On Him I confidently lean. Amen? I do want us to pray for Israel, and I had something I wanted to share with you on that. And then let me first pray over us first, and then let's go here a minute, okay? Father, thank you so much for your word. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. I don't even know how to take it most of the time. I don't even know how to handle it. It's so rich. It's so good. It's so alive. It's so real. It's so powerful. And it's you speaking to us. Wow. It would be no more powerful if you walked in the room and spoke it. Because it's your word and it's alive, full of power right now. We thank you and we praise you. You are our God. You are our protection. You are the one who watches over and keeps us. You also are the God who watches over and keeps Israel. And we pray for them this morning. God, my prayer has been that the same God that I see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, who protected and kept His people so powerfully, that you would come through powerfully again. I mean, I think of seas parting, of how you would confound the wheels on a chariot and make them wreck. How you would cause the enemy to fight against themselves. And Israel Rarely, they had to get out there ready and trust you, but rarely did they have to really do so much. Their trust had to be in you. They had to show up and trust you. And you came through so powerfully. I'm asking you, God, again, come through powerfully, time and time again for your people. And may your people all over the world where people are hating against Jews right now, may your people who are all over this world, may they see your mighty hand and their attention be arrested back to the Father of their faith, the Father of Abraham. May their attention be arrested to call out to you. I'm hearing praise reports of that a lot, and I love that. But Lord, I just pray that wherever they are, whether they're in Russia, whether they're in Ukraine, wherever they may be, Mexico, America, wherever they are, that they are crying out to you right now and that you would move powerfully in their behalf. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read this to you quickly. There was a word of warning that had been given over 15 years ago how Satan wanted to try and start World War III through a regional conflict of war. With the aligning of Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, possible escalation globally, it's real and it's potentially imminent. Iran is close to gaining nuclear capabilities, and these global alliances could be being formed could produce deadly consequences. Therefore, they were calling for a 21-day of prayer and fasting beginning yesterday, 11-11, through 21 days would be 12-1. In praying against World War III, here's the way that they prayed. And I just want us for us just to get in agreement, okay? We pray that the coalition between Iran, Russia, China, and North Korea will not become a successful war engine. We pray that Taiwan, South Korea, Vietnam, Japan, the Philippines, Malaysia, and surrounding nations would be protected. We pray third for the overthrow of wicked governments and terrorist organizations. Number four, we pray that other nations will not align with these rogue nations by funding them. May the Lord respond swiftly to our intercession to avert a third world war. Give us time to reap a great harvest of souls and be glorified in the nations of the earth. We join forces and we pray that this diabolical attack on Israel would not lead to a larger war and not be used to affect the coming harvest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, there have been times when the enemy's desire would be to start something ahead of God's time for it. You know? And or try to cause a mess so that what God had planned would not be able to take place so easily. So we just say that we want all the plans of the enemy completely frustrated. Amen? And that the plans of God would prevail in this hour. Amen. All right, Carrie, come here. Carrie's got something to share.
So I wasn't actually going to say anything because sometimes I get chicken and I feel like I need to, you know, research stuff before I say it. But I just talked to the girls this morning about taking a risk, and so I can't ignore it, especially when she said this. I've only ever had this vision one time, and it was a very long time ago, but I actually saw it again this morning. And the best way that I can describe it is, you know how when birds get together when they get together in a formation and it's like a V. Well, I saw that same formation. It was a very large formation on a runway like an airplane. Do you remember when I had that vision a long time ago?
20 years ago. Yeah.
And I heard the Lord say, evil is on the launching pad. The demonic hordes are in formation and ready for launch. It was almost like I saw the runway lit up with demonic hordes lined up and in a very perfect formation. But I actually heard the Lord, and He said, but I see, and this is what I saw with mine as well, I see a fireball of the presence of God. And that fireball was the church. And it was a very large ball of fire. And this might sound really silly, but it was almost as if, you know, when you go bowling and you see, you know, when the ball is rolled right straight down the middle and things, you know, kind of the pins will fall over. But that's not how I saw it this time. This time it was a matter of that ball of fire was launched. And when it was launched, what was on the runway was consumed, completely consumed. And I know that not every single person in the church is called to the office of the prophet, but we are a very prophetic church. And so I just heard the Lord say things, and I've got three scriptures that He gave me while we were doing this. And immediately I had one scripture, and then as you were talking, the Lord gave me two more. And it is time that the church sees ourselves as a large ball of fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit, the all-consuming fire must be alive on the inside of us as a prophetic church. We must have the fire of God burning and alive. We can't be lukewarm. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot out. We have to be a burning, consuming fire if we want the hordes of hell to be consumed in this day. Because right now is we're in a very dangerous place, you know, but I say that like we're in a dangerous place as a church because we're lukewarm. The body of Christ is very lukewarm, and that's not how we're going to affect the enemy. That's not how that's going to happen. And so very quickly, I want to, just give you some scriptures, and to be honest with you, I don't know what the best translation is. I just have my New King James here. So, bear with me just a second. Matthew 16:18. The very first one that He gave me is, and I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If you do not know who you are and whose you are, it is the revelation of who He is and who you are in Him that causes this to happen. The gates of hell will not prevail. When the enemy is coming hard against you, when you know who you are in Him and you know who He is, then the hordes of hell cannot harm you.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
The second one was Jeremiah. Jeremiah's in here. Where's Jeremiah? Left or right, Mama? Oh, there it is. Jeremiah 20. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't mean to. I just feel like this is so important, and I could not obey the Lord. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 says, it's talking about Jeremiah the prophet being obedient to the Lord, and he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word in my heart was like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back. For I heard many mocking and fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. My acquaintances watch for stumbling and perhaps da 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 da. basically what that's saying is that there's this fire that is shut up in my bones. And if I don't declare the word of God, if I do not prophetically speak the word of God, it is fire that's shut up inside of my bones. I have to make that declaration. I have to release that word of God. And then the last one is Psalm 18. Yep, go to the left. Psalm. I'm getting there. Okay. Oh, dude. Okay. Psalm 18. Let's start. I kind of want to start with maybe 34. Okay. Let's take about to 32. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer, and he sets me on a high place. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of salvation, and your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great, and you enlarge my path under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they cannot rise again.
Amen. That's good.
They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with strength for the battle ahead. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me, and you have given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me and cried out. The bottom line is we're living in a day right now where the enemy is launching. He's on the pad ready for launch. And we as the church, consumed with the glory of God, are what he wants to hurl out and completely destroy the enemy. And I want you to understand that if you're in a place right now of lukewarm, if you're in a place where the fire of God is not consuming your life, you need to repent and you need to get it right. You need to ask the Lord to burn up all the things that are inside of you that are causing you not to be able to fully submit and be in the presence of the Lord, because it's the church that he wants to use to consume the enemy on the launching pad. Amen?
Pray over us.
Father, stand up right now. Lift up your hands. Father, this morning we declare that you are the Lord God. It doesn't matter what enemy is on the launching pad. You are the Lord our God. And you have given us strength. You have given us power. You have given us weapons and tools that we can use for the enemy to be consumed. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, right now we repent of every place where we've been lukewarm, every place where we've allowed sin into our lives, every place that we have not allowed you to fully, fully have your way in our lives. We repent of those things right now, and we ask you, God, to consume them on the altar.
Yes.
To consume them in your presence right now. We want to be a prophetic church who is alive and on fire for you in these last days.
Yes.
Because
yes.
We know yes. that is the place where the enemy will be consumed.
Amen.
And so, Lord, I thank you that we are a church who is on fire, who has fire shut up in our bones, releasing your word and it bringing a fire into this place, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I thank you right now. You are a good, good Father. And you know how to protect, you know how to love, you know how to bring in and draw in. And so, Lord, this morning we give you honor and glory and praise. You have thwarted the plans of the enemy, and you are raising up a holy church.
Yeah.
You are raising
yeah.
up a holy yeah. church.
Yeah.
You are raising up a bride who is spotless and without blemish
yeah.
in these last days.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord. Let it begin
thank you,
with
Lord.
Us.
Thank you, Lord.
Let it begin with us, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I thank you, Lord, that our eyes are open. Our ears are open and we hear you. We see what you are doing, Lord. Our ears are open to hear your voice, to be obedient in these last days.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. That's a powerful word. You know, I had the Lord speak something to me yesterday. You were saying about the church at large being lukewarm. And the Lord spoke to me yesterday and said, you know, I'm trying to think how to say it backwards, but I can't say it backwards. Let me just say it the way he said it. I'll do better like that. I don't know what just happened, but it was funny. Hold tight. What he was saying was that, I can't find it. What he was saying was that a lot of times the reason why the church begins to play around in the world, you know, we think about, okay, come out of the world and then you can begin to serve the Lord like you should with fire and power. But the Lord said this to me. He said, perhaps some of the church has become bored with their Christianity. And that's why they're going after the world. Perhaps they've become bored in their walk. How would you become bored in your walk with the Lord? Unless you're just not pursuing Him like you had been. Maybe you're just kind of bored. Yeah, I've already read that. Yeah, I've already done that. Yeah, I prayed that. Yeah, I've done so and so. And it's not alive and powerful and fresh and new every day. Think about that. He said, perhaps many Christians have become bored in their relationship with me, in their Christian walk. And because of that, then it's easier to just go after the stuff you used to go after. You see what I'm saying? Are you following that okay? It made me go, pause and think about that a minute. So I don't want to be bored in my relationship with the Lord. I like it to be exciting and fun and learning and growing and stretching, and it ain't always easy. Anybody told you it was easy, lied to you. They did. It's not always easy. And, you know, and we're called to take up our cross, right? Daily. Like, there's stuff we have to die to that we want to do that, you know, I was listening to a guy the other day. Courtney sent me this video, and it's a very powerful video. I'm going to send it to a bunch of you. But he was saying, I wanted to be an attorney. Cross! It was like, I'd take up my cross on that one. And all these different things, and the Lord had actually called him to. Then he wanted to be an evangelist. Now he had to take up his cross on that one too, because God was calling him to pastor. And pastoring was like the hardest thing in his whole mind to do. And he was like, because I had to this, and then I had that, and then I had that, and then there was that. It was all taking up your cross and following the Lord. So it's not always easy. It's not always easy, but it is anything but boring unless you just get lazy and don't keep pursuing. You know? It's just not boring. Amen. Even when it's hard, it's not boring. Amen. Anybody need prayer for anything?